In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning to you. Greetings to you. Greetings with the hope that wherever you are, that our virtual worship for this seventh and last Sunday of the Easter season finds you as well as you can possibly be. As well as you can possibly be, and hopeful about the future, hopeful about the days and months to come. This hope, as just expressed, that you are as well as you can be, and also hopeful about the days and months to come, isn't some sort of naive optimism, but is rather meant as a source of inspiration, as a source of strength and resolve, in order that our faith might sustain us to meet the days, weeks, and months ahead as they will inevitably come. I use the word inevitably for two reasons. The first being that tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and June and July and August and so on, just as the calendars predict, are on their way to us. But also because those of us who are members of St. Albans, now and more than ever since this crisis began, are feeling the weight and the pain of the reality in which we are living. We're feeling that weight and that pain in more and more profound ways. As of the recording of this sermon, one staff member remains in an intensive care unit while his wife recovers in quarantine at home. On Monday this week, we lost yet another pillar of our parish. We're leaning, we're off kilter. We're saddened by both grief and loss, and those we love are suffering. From our relative positions of privilege, we are joining the world's suffering. And our own suffering and anxiety is exacerbated by countless news reports of political division, of absurd statements and actions of our elected leadership, and a death toll that now surpasses 1/3 of 1 million people worldwide. And yet, in the midst of these realities, as the church and as Christians, we are called to hope. We are called to resilience. We don't live with rose-colored glasses. And as Christians, we believe that God is neither the cause of the suffering of the world, or that one day God will swoop down and make everything better, that God is a fixer. But we do believe that God is present to us, present to both our joy and our pain. Recalling the readings we heard moments ago, our situation today, as much as it was for Jesus' disciples, for the faithful after the resurrection of their Lord. In the reading from the first letter of Peter, believers are told that although Christ had been raised, their temporal reality remained intact. That when and if their suffering was akin to the suffering of the world, God was near. In the reading from Acts, the faithful who are found standing gazing into the heavens, hoping for a restoration whose time was unpredictable and uncertain, they are instructed that if they're looking for Jesus now, they will find him just where they had found him before. They'll find Jesus with the poor, with the outcast, with the alien, with all those who suffer. If they go there, they will find God. If we go there, we will find God. That's our hope. That's our resilience. That's the work we've been given to do. You know, I don't remember a time when, as a world, we shared such a collective experience. A time when we shared the same pain, the same anxiety, and the same fear. And it never in my life have I experienced a time when we also shared the same hope, the hope that we can overcome. You know, despite the horror of the epidemic, the global pause has revealed a lot, hasn't it? If we've been paying attention, if we've been listening, it's not just COVID-19 that we must overcome, but also we must overcome a way of living that denies the suffering of others, that oppresses the other being human and non-human alike. We must overcome a way of living that produces winners and losers, a way of living that makes for privileged and underprivileged alike. We must overcome estrangement and division, the exploitation of both of the human and the natural world. 143 years ago, the great poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote God's Grandeur. In the poem, Hopkins laments the prioritization of the economic over the spiritual. A natural world that Hopkins says generations had trod, that all was seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, wearing man's smudge, sharing man's smell. Here's how he ends the poem. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, oh morning, at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with, bright wings. In the midst of this real crisis, all of us, I hope, have been hearing Hopkins' birds, have seen a glimpse of the bright wings of the Holy Spirit around us, God's birds, God's Holy Spirit, calling to us in the midst of our mourning. That's mourning, our pain and our sadness, but also amidst our trodding. All of this a call to hope, to resilience, and to a new mourning. Can we awaken to a new economy, to a divine economy, as the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and sings to us with bright wings? Wherever you are, and whatever you face, may you know God's presence. Hear God's call, and never stop hoping. Amen.